When we came up with the idea of Quick Start, we thought it would be a good idea to get us all into the new year with a kind of bang, with punch, not kind of just lamely limping into the new year, but let's start as we mean to go on. And we thought it'd be great to remind ourselves of some of the kind of principles of our faith, some of the important stuff to us, so that we can put it into practice, so that we can get into this year with a bang. So actually, I'm going to spend a pretty good chunk of my talk just recapping the last few weeks. Sam may have already spoiled this, but I was going to say, can anyone tell me the subjects that we've covered over the last couple of weeks? The Bible, boom. Jesus, yeah. Prayer. Wow. Good. Great. So yeah, we started with Rich speaking to us about Jesus. He's a central character of our faith. He's our God and our Savior. Rich reminded us that he's not only kind of a historically verifiable person, but that if he is who he claimed he was, he deserves our worship. He deserves our devotion. He deserves our all. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's so easy to lose the mind-blowing impact of that verse, isn't it? Because it rolls off the tongue. We've heard it 1,000 times before. But it was reminded to me recently about the so in there. He didn't send his son begrudgingly to get a job done. He didn't send him because he just loved us. He sent him because he so loves us. Think about that. God, the author of creation, so loves you. If you take that on board and accept that as truth, I believe nothing will have a greater impact on your year or any other year. Since we're on the subject of Bible verses, the next week, Jonathan spoke to us about the Bible. This incredible text, this message to us, written by men, but it is actually the Word of God. Jonathan challenged us, if you can remember, with the help of a flat-packed sofa that wasn't going together. How's that going? Is it okay now? Yeah? Yeah, great. that reading the Word without putting it into action is foolishness. Like the story Jesus told of the man who built his house on sand. But putting God's Word into action, that's pretty much the definition of wisdom. That's like the man who built his house on rock. When storms come, and they're sure to come, you may even be in one now. Which house do you want to be in? Like a letter from your closest, wisest, most trusted friend, the Bible is God's message for us. It not only gives us wise guidance and an insight into the amazing history of how God has interacted with creation and his people on earth, but as we saw and heard in John 3:16, it tells us and shows us how God feels about us. If you haven't already, make plans to get into the Word, his letter to you this year. There's so many ways of doing it. I don't know, lots of you may know this already. Nikki Gumbel does a Bible in 1 year. which is a brilliant thing. You can get it on your phone, you can get it emailed to you, and it splits up the Bible into daily chunks, so you get through the whole Bible in 1 year. He has got a brilliant little paragraph next to each section that you read, explaining it and bringing it to life. Give that a go. There's millions of other ways as well to get into the Bible. If you struggle with reading the Bible on your own, find someone to read it with. I know that happens lots here, and it's a really, really positive thing. You can meet together, read together, discuss together. Whatever works for you, do it in 2017. Don't wait. And don't let the good news just stop in there. But let it penetrate your heart and allow it to shape your everyday actions. I said it was like a letter. Speaking of letters, you're probably thinking, letters? I haven't received a letter in years. Do letters even still exist? Well, the next week and last week, Jenny spoke to us about prayer. I might say that's more like a telephone call or Skype even. We're invited to have a conversation with the King. Jenny was saying last week, it just doesn't make any sense. It's just so amazing, you know, it's crazy. But that's it. We're invited to have a conversation with the King. Not only that, but we're encouraged to be speaking and listening to him all the time. Not even that, but we're told that when we ask in Jesus' name, when we ask for things that are in line with God's will and goodness, they will be given to us. Need a mountain moved? You know where to go. Need strength, courage, food, money, comfort, guidance, wisdom, healing? You know where to go. He takes joy in pouring out blessing upon blessing on us. He doesn't give bad gifts. If you remember last week, we finished by splitting into small groups and kind of putting some of that teaching into action. And this side of the church was praying for some CAP situations, some CAP clients, Christians Against Poverty, that is, clients. And you know what? God listened to that prayer. He heard that prayer, and he answered. So Rachel was telling me this week, a lady that we prayed for who was about to be kicked out of her house has now got a 28-day extension. So good. It's so good. And I guess some of you cynics, where are the cynics? You might be thinking, oh, well, that would probably have happened anyway. But I don't know who said it, but someone once said, the more I pray, the more coincidences happen. Give it a go this year. Pray. Pray more. Pray when you're happy. Pray when you're sad. Pray creatively. Pray on your own. Pray with others. Don't let disappointment stop you, but pray with expectation. And when God speaks and when he answers, share it with us. As Sam was saying, we love to hear that stuff. It might be that God speaks to you about this congregation, this group of people, and we want to hear. So be brave, let us know, and that will build us up. That will encourage us. Talking of us, tonight I've forgotten to do this all the time. Jesus, Bible, prayer, community. That's tonight. Community, us, together. I was speaking to a friend just a couple of days ago about sermon themes and talks and series, and he said, please don't do anything more on flipping community. At which point I've sheepishly said, that's exactly what I'm speaking about on Sunday evening. So in a way, to disguise the community talk, I have called it Coal and Manure. That's a good name. I think that's a good name. Coal and Manure. This comes from two descriptions or analogies I've heard talked about when talking about church and the church community. I'm sure you've come across it before, but let's start with coal. I'll save manure for later. If there's a bunch of coals together, hot, warm, glowing coals, just like that, yeah. They stay warm for a long time. They've got to be together, though. If you take one of those coals away and put it on its own, it soon grows cold and dark. Let's turn to the Bible. Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. Someone shout out the page number when you find it. Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. 1208. And we're all going to read this together. Everyone got it? Let's say this. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I think I may well have used that verse before, but hey, it's a good one. God loves relationships. Even before anything existed, he loved relationships. Through the mystery of the Holy Trinity, in a way, God is a relationship. And when he created human beings in his likeness, surprise, surprise, he put them into relationships. In Genesis 2, the Lord says about Adam, it is not good for the man to be alone. So he created Eve. And from then on, God encourages relationship. He encourages family. He encourages community throughout the Bible. When God sent his son to earth, Jesus gathered a community around him. There were the 12 disciples. There was his family and friends. There was the wider group of 72 maybe that Jesus would have hung out with. It's good to be in community together. And then after Jesus returned to heaven, we read about the early church in Acts. It says this in Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So cool. So cool. That is the kind of church I want to be a part of. That's the church, the kind of church that I'd love All Saints to be. I think we're on the way there, but we could be more like it, couldn't we? God's presence, of course, is the key to that. It's not done just by good friendships or hanging out together. It's God's presence. But in that Hebrews passage, there was clues about what that looks like practically. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. towards love and good deeds. And then it says about not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Don't give up meeting together. Obviously, at that point, some had given up meeting together. And unfortunately, people still do. Whether it's because they've kind of left the faith, or whether it's because they think, maybe I can just watch something online or sing along to a worship CD. Why would people give up on meeting together? I think there's a cost to meeting together. Just like there's a cost to any meaningful relationship. Believe it or not, I'm an introvert, and so I guess I enjoy being alone. I enjoy kind of small group settings. That's all good. And sometimes I find kind of church services and meeting all you guys pretty exhausting. You're lovely guys, but it doesn't come naturally. But I really, really believe that any effort that I have to put in because of that is more than outweighed by the blessing that comes from being in a church community. There's probably millions of other reasons why people choose to skip meeting together. But when you're not plugged into a church community, you're risking becoming like a cold black coal. You see, in the picture there, the coals together glowing. Some of those coals at this point may not have had direct contact with the heat source. And yet from being close to one another, they receive the heat. God's fire passes from person to person. When we meet together, when we share our lives with one another, we can be passers of fire. God's fire. Sometimes through words or through actions, God's love and power can spread through us like heat through those coals. We can spur each other on towards love and good deeds. 13 years ago, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And the church I was in at that point really rallied around me and my family. And unfortunately, a year later, he died. And even though that was one of the most painful experiences I've ever been through and my family's ever been through, the church was absolutely incredible. They were kind of falling over each other to try and help us, to try and pray for us, and to try and do practical things for me and my family. A lawyer came forward and said, I can help you with all the legal stuff that goes with someone dying. And an accountant, knowing that my dad had a business, came forward and said, I can help wrap up your dad's business. In fact, after this experience, and still to this day, I honestly don't understand how anyone can go through something like that without a church. It's so good. Practical stuff. Practical love. Like Jonathan said a few weeks back, the storms come. But at that moment, I felt that I'd built my house on the rock. And even though I didn't really have the strength to cling to God, other people were clinging to me who were clung to God. Does that make sense? Yeah. The great thing is, those friendships and relationships that I had with the people who ended up helping us and going way above the call of duty to look out for us, those friendships weren't formed from solemnly, earnestly working at something. They were formed by hanging out, having fun, sharing life, and most importantly, sharing faith in Jesus. So my question to you now is, how well do you know each other here? How many names of people that you're sitting near do you know? Look around. Putting people on the spot here. Sorry. What does that person do for a living? What's that person struggling with at the moment? What's that person's favourite food, music, football team, whatever? I really believe that if we as a church come closer to each other, God will come closer to us. And on the flip side, I really believe as God comes closer to us, we will come closer to each other. So I've got a little exercise to kickstart that. Don't panic. Well, I panic slightly. I've got some cards here, which I'm going to give out. In fact, Sam, why don't you start handing those out? There's more if we need any more. What you're going to do is you're going to get a pen. There might be a pen in the seat in front of you, or we've got loads of pens. Vic, could you hand out those pens? All you're going to do, simple, write your name on the back of it. First name only. You don't need any contact details on there, or mini CVs or anything like that. You'll see on the front it says a verse from 1 Thessalonians. Speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. So all you put on the back is your name. First name. And then, in a second, when you've all done that, you're going to find someone you don't know. And you are going to swap cards with them. This isn't a dating service, if anyone was wondering about that. You never know where it'll lead, but it's not. Are we all ready? So try and find someone that you either don't know at all or that you only know slightly. And you can tell them your name before handing the card over, and then swap cards. Go.
I don't have a card.
It's so cool just hearing the buzz of you guys chatting to one another. If you want, you don't have to, but if you want, why don't you pray for that person this week? Maybe keep the card somewhere that you'll see it. Put it in your wallet. Did we have an odd number? Oh. So, yeah, pray for that person. That would be great. And then, actually, keep it in your wallet. That would be a good thing, or purse, or whatever you have. Because next week, we are having a service that's dedicated to communion. And what we're actually going to be doing is having a simple meal together to begin with. And what would be cool is if you find that person and maybe sit together with them as we eat next week. It's my little challenge. Like I said, I'm confident that any awkwardness that this kind of thing creates is outweighed by all the good stuff, all the benefits, both for you individually and us as a group. So briefly, on to manure. Did you ever think you'd see a pile of manure on the screens at church? I don't know. So you may have heard this one before as well. If you spread manure around, manure can enrich the whole garden. But if you just keep it in one place, it smells like a pile of poo. Yeah. The church, our church as well, is here to have an impact on our geographic community, to bring life into our neighbourhoods. I'm going to go on to the next one just because it's nicer. Yeah, that's better. When you spread it around, it's good for the garden. You may have heard it said that the church is the only organisation created for the benefit of its non-members. I like another thing I heard that said, the church is a rescue service, not a yacht club. As we heard on a series last year, the Move series, what goes on in church can't stay in church. We need here. We need the fire. We need one another. But what for? For when we're out there. Every now and then here we have things called Breakout Sundays to try and create opportunities to be God's people outside, out of these four walls, to inspire us that we don't have to leave Jesus at the door when we leave here. You see, our friends and family, neighbours and colleagues need Jesus. Our community needs Jesus. Peckham and London needs Jesus. Do you agree? How are we going to get God to them? Give God to them? God wants to use us to do that. Jesus said, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. God's light can shine through us and bring light into the darkness all around us. How that looks, how you do that, may be very different for you from me. But it doesn't have to be complicated. Use words, use actions, whatever. Let God's light shine through you. Let his light radiate from you. Bring Jesus into the room, onto the street, into the train carriage. Don't hold on to it. Don't be ashamed. Tonight and every Sunday night, let's say to God, fill us up. And let's also say, send us out. Reveal your goodness and greatness to us, so our joy might be plain to see by all those we come into contact with. And that's scary. That's kind of a challenge, isn't it? Not to keep it just to ourselves. It's kind of, it's kind of awkward, that point of sharing what we believe deep down, of who we believe in. But there is so much more to life when we do that. And Jonathan's going to come and share a picture. He shared it this morning. He shared it to us as a staff earlier in the week, about how there's so much more if we trust in him.
Well, it was a picture given to me in a staff prayer time. It might be for me, it might be for you, it could be for all of us as a church, of a swimmer on the surface of the sea, having this strange invitation that they feel in the spirit to plunge down. And it's obviously a scary thing because you can't breathe underwater, but the invitation comes to their spirits to plunge down. A picture of this invitation from God by his spirit to take a plunge, whatever that looks like for me, different for you, but for every one of us, to trust in, as it were, this was the picture of a divine aqualung that one can breathe underwater to go deeper, because below the surface, there's so much beautiful stuff to see and to experience. below the surface, there's so much beautiful stuff to see and experience that on the surface we just won't get at all. That was the picture.
So we're gonna finish now in response. We're gonna pray for that. Let's go deeper. Let's not just settle for surface stuff. Let's go deeper. Deeper with one another, getting to know one another better, and deeper with the people that we come into contact with outside of here.